Well, it's good to see a good group of folks here tonight, and I hope you've been praying about what you're going to do with your mission giving this coming year. And that's between you and the Lord, right? But it's up to me to challenge you to realize that we only have so little time to get it done. You see, the life of a person isn't very long. Not really. When you think of eternity, you think of the age of God, and then you think of our age, it goes by pretty quick. And so whatever we're going to do, we need to do today. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow may not come. And so I'm hoping that you're really praying about what the Lord would have you to do as far as your faith promise is concerned. Tonight I would like to think about a question that I think I can answer. And the question is, can you believe that God can supply? Do you believe that God can supply? And it's important for us to answer this question, because today in the age that we live in, it seems like taxes go up, rent goes up, gasoline prices go up, electricity costs go up, the MRT goes up, everything goes up. It seems like what you could do 5 years ago, you can't do today with the same amount of money. And with that, with thinking about that, and utilities go up. And so when we think about this kind of thing, it would be very easy to begin thinking like some did in the past. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse number 14, in Malachi's day, it says here in this verse, "Ye have said it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" You see, if we're not careful, we could get to thinking just like they did back in Malachi's day. And back in Malachi's day, we have a passage of Scripture where it talks about tithes and offerings. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But if we will do right, listen to me now, if we will do right, then will God supply for our needs? And I say, yes, He will. He will supply our needs. Notice what the Scripture has to say about this. And let's turn, if you would, just for a moment, to Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Right in the same context of the words that I spoke to you just a moment ago, read to you just a moment ago. In verse number 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now God was speaking through the prophet Malachi, and He was telling the people, if you will be faithful to the Lord will definitely be faithful to you. And I want you to realize that God made three promises in those verses we just read. The first promise is, "I will pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive at all." Second, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." My wife and I, we have used vehicles. Both of them have well over 100,000 miles on them. Okay? About a year or so ago, the one that I drive the most, I went down to North Carolina and I went by a friend of mine that I've known for many years, and I had arranged to leave my car there and then travel into the West Indies, and then when I came back, pick up my car and go home. Well, so he said, park it on the side of the driveway there, and then tomorrow morning I'll take you to the airport, but I'll take you in my vehicle. Well, when he opened the garage door, he did it with a remote thing, and we're in his vehicle, and he's kind of excited and didn't want to be late to the airport, and he backs up and puts a nice crease right down the side of my car. And oh, he felt so bad. He said, listen, I have never put a claim against my insurance on my vehicle. Your car's going to be fixed. And I hope it'll be fixed before you get back from the West Indies. Well, it wasn't fixed before I got back from the West Indies. But to make a long story short, the insurance company, because of the age of the vehicle, it had cosmetic damage done to it. There was a scratch down a couple of the doors on the side of the car. The car still ran good. No tires were flatted. Nothing happened. It still operated properly. They wanted to junk it and give me what I didn't think was worth what the car was worth to me. I said, no, you can't do that to me. You got to fix my car. But it's not worth it. I said, it is to me because it drives good and it's still running good and it gets me where I want to go. Well, they fixed the car. Okay? They fixed the car. But you see, that car, I've had it since it had about 40,000 miles on it. And now it's up around 130,000 miles. It's never left me stranded on the road. It just keeps running. In fact, every time my wife gets in that car and sits down in the passenger seat, her head goes back and she goes to sleep. It's the best riding car we've ever had. I hate to get rid of it because when she's sleeping, everybody's happy. She's happy because she's sleeping, and I'm happy because she's sleeping too, you know. I want her to be rested up. But God says, prove me now. You know, now's the only time that we can prove God. You thought about that? Now's the only time we can put Him to the test. He says, prove me now. You just do what I'm telling you to do, and I will bless you. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you'll have problems receiving. So yes, I believe that God has promised to supply. I believe He'll take care of us. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, the thing about Solomon was he's considered the wisest man that ever lived on the earth, right? Surely some of the things that he had to say surely must be wise. He said in Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, be a liberal person. Be a generous person. Be a person that gives. Be a person that is, not stingy. A person that wants to be a blessing to other people. And listen, if about half of the population of the world is without Christ, surely they need a blessing, right? And we need to give them a blessing. And one of the ways we can do that is by giving our missions offerings so that people can go and preach the gospel to them. And they will be eternally thankful. And I wouldn't be surprised one day when we get to heaven that people will come up and they'll thank us, you know, because we made it possible for them to hear the gospel preached. Another passage of Scripture that Solomon stated was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Here he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, according to Solomon. Now, he was the wisest man that ever lived, but he was one of the wealthiest men that ever lived too. God blessed him, you see. And so, listen to what he's saying. Another passage of Scripture is found in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. Here, the Bible says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Now, these are biblical principles. Sometimes when you read your Bible, you just read it and say, "Well, I finished my chapter for today, or my three chapters for today," and you go on your way, but you didn't really take to heart what it was saying. And some of the basic principles here, if we put them to work in our lives, you would be amazed what it'll do for you. And so I think Malachi, with God's, he's saying, "Prove me now." Solomon's saying the liberal soul will be the one that's blessed. And then another thing, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said this, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now, do you believe what Jesus said? The Son of God said that. He said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." He said, "Good measure," but not just good measure. That, you know, in other words, if you give $100, you may get back $120, $130. Do you believe that? I believe that. You say, "Well, Brother Blue, why do you believe that?" Well, because of what the Bible says. I'd like for you to turn to a passage in your Bible. I'm going to jump off of my notes for just a second here. I just want to bring out a verse or two here. Turn to the last chapter of Leviticus. I want you to notice what it says here. In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Now notice what the Bible says. It says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." What's that mean? That means that whatever we have come into us, the gross, a tithe of that is God's right off of the top. When you give your tithe, you should give your tithe of your gross income, not your net income. What if somebody gave you a pair of shoes? Well, when you come to church, turn your phone off. Okay. I'm sorry, that was mine. I don't like to do that at all. My wife is going to be talking to me when I get home tonight. I'm in trouble. Now, if somebody gives you $100 worth, a pair of shoes worth $100, do you know something? You owe $10 to God. What does it say here? All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. In other words, it doesn't make any difference where it comes from. If it passes through your hands, 10% of it belongs to God. Now notice what he goes on and says. Now listen. Hello, listen to me now. Verse 31. "And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes," that means if you get behind in your tithing. Now, we haven't talked about offerings yet. We're just talking about tithing. You get behind in your tithing, "he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof." Now, I'm not the best mathematician, but a fifth of $100 is $20. Are you up to date in your tithe? If you're not, You're doing what Malachi was saying people were doing about the tithe. They were robbing God. Don't rob God. What belongs to God, make sure God gets it. We ought to thank God that we get the 90% to deal with. And then, if we're thankful, we should give an offering even from that. Amen? Okay, everybody understood what I've just said? Okay. You see, when you really understand Scripture and you're committed to be the Christian you ought to be, you're going to put it to practice in your life. Okay? And I hope you do. For your sake. For your sake. God will bless you if you do what He says to do. That's what He said there in Malachi. Remember? Prove me now, therewith saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that ye shall not have room enough to receive it. You see? And of course, Jesus said, you know, one time in a missions conference in International Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, the pastor asked me, he says, do you know a way that we could illustrate how God always gives back more than you give? I said, yeah, we can do that. Just down the street, they had a horse stable. People would come to the... There was a park right there close to where the church was. People would come and they would ride horses in the park. You know, just right there near Kensington Park there. So I went up to the stable and I said, I'd like to borrow some oats. The guy says, what do you want them for? I said, I just want to borrow some oats. I'm not going to eat them. I'm going to bring them all back. I just want to illustrate something in a service. He said, okay. So he gave me a bucket out of the stall. I got a bucket of oats, went back to the church. And I got a container, and the pastor was preaching on this passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And he said, okay, Brother Ballou, pour the oats in the bucket. So I took the bucket, poured oats into a bucket, and I got it right up to the top. Right smooth to the top rim of the bucket. He said, okay, now set the bucket that you're pouring the oats out of down, and I want you to take and I want you to bounce that bucket that you just poured the oats in on the platform. So I did. And when I got through, he says, now take your hand and press down on the oats inside the bucket. Okay, and I did. And then he said, okay, now pour some more oats in. You see what the Bible says? Did you notice the verses? Look here, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. The good measure was the full bucket of oats. Press down and shaken together and running over. In other words, the second time I started pouring more oats into the bucket, I was mounding it up like a pyramid. And when an oat fell off of the edge, I stopped. He said, okay. Now, he says, determine how much more oats you added to the bucket. And we did it by weight. We weighed it. How much more do you think we added to the bucket? Anybody?
4 kg.
Huh? 4 kg?
1 kg.
1 kg? Oh, okay. He may be right. I don't know what a kg is, but anyway. We just had a scale of pounds. So I would be in trouble. Okay? I'm letting you know that, but... Anyway, it was about 20%. We just read a passage in Leviticus, and it says, if you get behind in your tithe, we're informed, we're instructed to add a fifth part to it. In other words, if you didn't give your tithe this week, and it was $100, just keep it simple, then next week, to make it up, give $120. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. I think the Lord is saying, the Lord Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, you give $100 and I'm going to make sure you get the value of $120 back. Now, I'm not a theologian. Well, I'm a little bit, but not that much. But I believe that giving is a win-win situation. You see, Jesus is not talking about the tithe. The Lord's talking about the tithe back in the Old Testament in Malachi. Here, Jesus is just saying, "Give, and you shall give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You see. And so, what I'm trying to get across to you is, tithing and giving an offering is a win-win situation. Why? Because you're promised that you'll never lack if you do it. Okay? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, we have another passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Philippian church was a church that supported what Paul was trying to do, you know, as he was going out on his missionary journeys and reaching people with the gospel and establishing local churches. And they gave to him off and on throughout his missionary endeavors. And so Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, "My God shall supply all your need," you see, "according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There's a little chorus, "He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth of every mine." Yeah, He does. God knows where all the treasures are. It's not hard for Him to, reimburse us. Not any problem at all. So, I believe that God will supply our needs. In the second place, the reason I believe that is because God supplied the needs of other people that we know about from Scripture when they had needs in their life. And if He supplied, if God says He'll supply, and Solomon says He'll supply, and we have illustrations of where God has supplied, then we shouldn't question. We shouldn't be worried about making, that God is going to supply for us. There's many examples, and I don't want to keep you all night. I mean, I could, but I don't want to do that because the men are going to be here again at 8 o'clock in the morning, and some may have to travel a ways just to get home. So, I just want to talk about a couple different examples here. For instance, Elijah. God needed to take care of Elijah. And there's a story in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 9. It says here, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zion, and dwell there." So God instructed Elijah to go to this place he'd probably never been in his life, Zarephath. And he says, "Behold, I have commanded a widow lady, woman, there to sustain thee. I have a person that's going to feed you while you're there." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." In other words, I'm fixing tonight all that I have. And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. In other words, Elijah said, the Lord has said this. If we just believe what God has said and do it, we'll have no need. Okay? And in verse 15 it says, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." And yet, when he first spoke to her, she said, "I'm gathering a couple sticks to make a little fire and use the last of the provisions I have." Elijah followed the direction of the Lord and went to Zarephath. And God took care of him there. You know, sometimes we're not where we ought to be. Or we're not doing what we ought to be doing. And maybe we're struggling. Let's make sure we're where we ought to be, doing what we ought to do. And if we do, God's going to take care of us, you see. The widow believed God would take care of her and her son if she did what Elijah said to do. So if we'll trust God by faith, He'll supply our needs too, you see. And she was willing to commit what she had, even though her need was great. In her mind, tonight is the last night. And yet when she looked at the meal barrel and the container the oil was in, the next day there was stuff there, so that they ate many days. You see, if God supplied for the widow woman and her son and Elijah, God can supply for us too. Okay? He can take care of us. In Mark chapter 12, in verse 41, it talks about the widow and her mites. She had 2 cents. It says in verse 41, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing." A mite is a seventh part of one piece of that money of the day. So it wasn't worth much. In fact, I remember we were in, I think it was Aruba, and you would see, once in a while, you'd see a coin laying on the ground. It was the penny. People didn't even use the penny there. So if they got one, they just throw it away. Okay? That's the kind of money that we're talking about. But that was all she had, you see. And so when she cast in her 2 mites, He called to him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. In other words, that night she was going to go home with nothing. Now, Jesus was impressed with the heart attitude of the widow, the certain poor widow, because she felt that everything belonged to God. And it does. You know that, right? Psalm 24:1 says, The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, all they that dwell therein. Whoa. Now, Brother Blue, don't tell me that my car is not my car. It's not your car, okay? It's really not your car, okay? And we have to realize the things that we have in this life are fleeting. They're not forever. I remember when Hugo came through in 89, took the roof off our house. And for a long time after Hugo passed, we would be looking for things, and when we couldn't find them, we just started using the phrase, well, Hugo took it. Because there were things that Hugo apparently took, because the roof went off. And when you looked up, you saw sky. Okay? So what we have to realize is it all belongs to God. We belong to Him. The earth belongs to Him. All the things on earth belong to Him. It's all His. He's in control. So we need to be sure that we're walking rightly in relation to Him. If God took care of the widow, we can trust Him to take care of us, can't we? Sure. What about Mary and the oil of spikenard? In Mark chapter 14, verse 3 and following, it says here, And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. 300 pence was about what it would cost for the salary of a man back in that time. They'd make a penny a day, okay? So that was a little, you know, that ointment was a little expensive. I mean, you know, I know that there's some men sitting here, if your wife went out and got some perfume and it was worth your yearly salary, you might want to ask her, why did you get such a big bottle? You know, why couldn't we have used a little smaller bottle, you know? I would like to have some bread with my perfume, you know. So it was a very costly thing, you see. And so some were complaining about it, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying, because he was going to be killed soon and was going to be buried. Verily, verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So Mary of Bethany did something that caused her to be more the whole story be in the Gospels. And every time you read Mark, you read about this, you see. And her sacrificial giving was a blessing to the Lord, and it was a blessing to everybody in that house and down the street. Why? Because probably none of them had ever smelled the perfume of spikenard, because it was so costly. They probably never even, you probably couldn't go to the perfume shop and they let you put a little behind your ear if it cost a year's wages, you see. So, God has His way of dealing with things. And if God took care of Mary, I'm sure after she had done that and was sacrificial, God still took care of her during the rest of her life. There's a passage in John chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9. A little boy went out, and his mother gave him a little lunch. He wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And so he went out, and Jesus taught the people on the mountainside. And the people became hungry. And so one of the disciples said in verse number 9, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. The little boy had a lunch. I'm sure that these barley loaves were small barley loaves, and I'm sure the fish were not very big. But Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. In other words, everybody got filled up. Okay? As much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. He probably had a little bag, a little brown bag, you know. Okay? 12 baskets full, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now, the boy was willing to give up his lunch. Do you think he ate that day? It said they were all filled. He was there, wasn't he? So he gave up his lunch, but he still ate. Sometimes we might think that it's a sacrifice on our part, when really it isn't as much a sacrifice. You understand me? If it all belongs to Him anyway, we ought to be thankful that He allows us to get involved in it. You see, God is supplying for His saints today, just like He did back in these times in the Scriptures. I think of men like J.C. Penney. You've probably heard of the Penney Company. Christian Mann. R.G. Letourneau. R.G. Letourneau was a man that was tithing and giving 90% of his income away and living on 10%. Made some huge industrial machinery that would cut paths through forest. Some huge machines. R.G. Letourneau. There's many others that I could talk about. You may not know these people, but I know some people that have been very sacrificial. The Ruvas were very sacrificial during their lifetime. Gave millions of dollars away so the gospel could be given out. And I believe I've answered the question. Do you think God will help me with my faith promise? Yes, I do. I think He'll help you. If by faith you'll get involved, I think you'll see God do something maybe this year that you haven't seen yet in your lifetime. I really believe Are you willing to trust God to supply for your needs? Are you saved and have you already trusted Him for salvation? Hey, just think of the value of salvation alone. And if you've trusted Him for that, what's a few dollars? Hello? What is a few dollars? Seriously? Have you turned over your possessions to Him? You see, it's all His anyway. And if He's in control, if God's truly in control, then that means He's obligated. And He says, prove me now and see if I'll take care of you. I think He will. There's a song in your hymnal. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. Join me. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. I believe it. I hope you believe it. And if you do believe it, this may be the best year in faith promise giving you'll have in the history of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I guess we ought to sign our cards now, right? Be praying about it. It's exciting. It's especially exciting when you get letters from missionaries saying that these people were saved and these were baptized. And if it wasn't for Christians praying and Christians giving, they wouldn't be able to be there and do what they're doing. So, let's be faithful. Everybody has a part. If the missionary has to live by faith, what's wrong with the church member also living by faith? Hey, listen, you are living by faith, okay? You are living by faith. You understand me? No guarantee of tomorrow. Okay? But when one of the granddaughters called, it was today, wasn't it, when Carly called, Grandma said, by the way, I just want to let you know that it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. She says, why are you saying that? She says, well, because I'm already living it over here. We're 12 hours ahead of you. So, you know, God's good. And God wants to be a blessing to the unsaved, but He also wants to be a blessing to the saved. He says, prove me now. He can pass the test. Believe me, He can pass the test. Okay? Because He has with so many, for so many years. Even before we were ever born, He's done it for years and years and years. Dear Heavenly Father, bless to our hearts the Word of God tonight. And we pray that we thank You for this great time of fellowship that we've had. And we pray also that You'll bless in the men's prayer breakfast tomorrow and the ladies' tea in the afternoon tomorrow. And, of course, the services on Sunday. And we pray that You'll be with our missionaries. be with the E's while they're getting ready to go back to the field just in a few weeks now. And we also pray that you'll be with the Crockers while they're in the States visiting family and churches over there. And we pray that you'll give them safety as they travel. Be with the ones on our prayer sheet and those that's been requested prayer for. We ask that you'll just help us to be the Christian that we ought to be and be involved and be missionary as well as giving to missions. We'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.